بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لن يزال المؤمن في فسحة في دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. رواه البخاري. حضرت عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ نریس رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that a believer, a mu'min, will continue experiencing comfort in his deen as long as he does not shed blood. The meaning of this hadith, that a believer will be in fusha. The word fusha here refers to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer will be in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some commentators have mentioned that he will be able to do good actions, amal salihah. That is the meaning of comfort. In other words, he'll be able to practice his deen well, or he'll be in the comfort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his deen. He'll be in comfort in his deen, meaning he'll be in the mercy, enjoying the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as he does not kill some person unjustly. So you remember we're doing the chapter on zulam and oppression. This is the last two hadith in this chapter. So here this is also zulam. Sharia does not allow any person to kill any person unjustly. So a person will always remain in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he unjustly sheds blood. He kills some person, because this is a major sin in Sharia. This is a major sin in Islam, to kill somebody unjustly. This is part of zulam. In fact, this is a very serious zulam a person does. We had been doing so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just on Thursday, we did the hadith about who is a pauper, who is a bankrupt person. That person who does a lot of good deeds, but on the day of Qiyamah, when he'll come with all his good deeds, there'll be people who will claim their rights from him, whom he oppressed in this world. One hadith had mentioned, we did it previously, that if you oppress your Muslim brother, just that amount of a handspan, one handspan, in other words, you took away his land, for example, you moved your boundary, just one handspan, and you took away his portion of the land, then that one handspan of land will necklace you on the day of Qiyamah, it will yoke you, and you will be sunk into the ground, seven earths down. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِ الظَّالِمِ. Allah Ta'ala gives a zalim a chance, Allah gives him respite. A zalim will continue his zulam, Allah continues giving him respite. And then suddenly when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes him, like we did the verse today in Fajr, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٍ. When Allah catches any person, the catch of Allah Ta'ala is very severe. لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. Allah Ta'ala will never let him escape then. That's the pakar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gives the person a chance, continues, hoping that he will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll make amends. He gives back the property of that person who is the rightful owner of it, or whatever possession it is. That is why the hadith says, in this dunya, you made zulam to any person in any way. Whether it was inheritance, whether it was a business deal, whether you abused your wife, your children, whoever it may be, whatever the zulam was, then you should make amends in this world before Qiyamah takes place, and then you will have no rands and cents, because on the day of Qiyamah, there is no currency that will help you and avail you besides your a'mal. So what will be taken away from you? Your a'mal, your good deeds. And that is why I mentioned the other day, that the biggest regret will be on the day of Qiyamah, when you see all your good deeds on somebody else's scale, and that person will be enjoying your good deeds. So may Allah subhanahu give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand that zulam is something totally abhorred by Sharia. The hadith of Qudsi, wherein Rasulullah says that Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu zulma ala nafsi. Oh my servants, Allah is saying that I have made zulam, oppression, haram upon myself. Fala tazalamu. Then you too must not oppress one another. The next hadith, or the last hadith in this chapter, وأن خولة بنت عامر الأنصارية رضي الله تعالى عنها وهي إمرة حمزة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن رجالا يتخوضون في مال الله بغير حق فلهم النار يوم القيامة رواه البخاري. She said, I heard Rasulullah SAW saying, this is the wife of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her name was Khawla. She says that Rasulullah SAW said, those who act wrongly in acquiring the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, those who act wrongly in acquiring the wealth of Allah unjustly, فَلَهُمُ النَّارُ يُوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, for them they will be hellfire. In other words, there are some monies that belongs to the public. Like in those days, they had Baytul Mal. In our times, a person is in charge of some organization. He's a treasurer of a masjid or some organization, a school. He's in charge of public funds. So people give money, they donate money, and now he's in charge. He has to be absolutely careful how he discharges that money. 1 cent he usurps or uses it wrongly and he'll be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. So those who are in public positions and they are managing public funds, they should be very careful. There should be no embezzlement of funds. And this is unfortunately very, very, very common. Very common. A person is entrusted by people, public give him money, and he is supposed to be discharging incorrectly. Sometimes a person has got an organization where he has to give zakat, or lillah, whatever it may be. That he has to ensure that all those monies are paid to the rightful people. Many times, of course I'm not taking any organization name, but many times the money is just kept over there. It's been collected. Years go by, and the people's zakat has not been discharged. So you have trusted the person, hoping that he pays gives off your zakat, and they are just collecting the money, for whatever reason, Allah knows best, and the money is not being discharged. So Allah Ta'ala, help us to, especially when it comes to public funds, because this becomes as malillah, the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should be utilized, not for one's personal benefit. If you recall those who were here, when with the hadith, a person was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go and collect the zakat from the people, when he came back, and he said, this is yours, and this is mine. In other words, this was given to me as a gift. Rasulullah ascended the minbar, called the Sahaba. He said, what is this? Then why don't you sit in the house of your father and mother and wait for the gift to come to you there? Why is it that when you are doing your rounds, now suddenly you are saying somebody is giving you hadiah? If he really wants to give you a gift, he could have given you before you went and visited him or to collect the zakat. If he really has that love for you, he'll give it to you some other time. Why when you went to collect zakat? Now there's a doubt that money could have been public money and not your own. And now you're saying this is my, it was given to me as a hadiah, as a gift. Therefore Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. So zulam is not only if you're in an organization or you're a trustee or you're a principal of a madrasa, people give us money, it's meant for the student. Now if we use it for our own personal benefits, to buy a car or use for my own petrol, this is tantamount to zulam. Whatever you have been given permission for, that's okay. What you have not been given permission for, it is haram for you to use anything. So sometimes you're going on the company sends you for some work. Now whatever it is, that also, the time is also an amanat. Anything else contrary to that will tantamount to zulam. In this dunya, if you make zulam to any person, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you punishment sometimes in this dunya for the zulam you made. And there's an incident that many of the scholars have written. A simple incident, but we can fit it into our daily lives and see how serious this thing can be, how Allah ta'ala punishes a zalim. There's a person who was a king, and he was on some rounds one day, and he sees a fisherman, poor fisherman, and he was fishing. And at that very moment, he caught a very huge fish. So this king desired that fish. And he asked the person to give him the fish. He says, this is the oot, the food of my children. They are hungry. We've got no other food. And for several days, we had no food. And Allah Ta'ala has given me this rosy. I cannot give it to you. This is the food of my children. The king slaps him, takes away that fish, pushes him aside, makes zulam upon him, and he goes away. Allah Ta'ala made it such that Allah Ta'ala gave the fish life, bites the hand of this king, and he is bitten very, very severely. He goes and he tries to do something, but he fails. The next day he goes to the doctor. He says there's a wound and it's very deep, and eventually we will have to amputate your hand. So the king's hand is amputated. He tried several things, but nothing worked, until somebody tells him that you must have made zulam on a person. He says, yes, this is what I did. He says, go back to the person asking for forgiveness. And when he goes to the person, after some time, the person asks him, that, what's the matter? He says, no, I made zulam upon you. I wrongly took away that fish. But tell me, what did you say when I took away your fish? Did you make any dua? He says, yes. I said, oh Allah, this man is showing me his power. He has taken away the food of my masoom children. Oh Allah, you show him your power. That is why it is mentioned, a zalim is sleeping at night after usurping the person's possession and whatever he had property. But the mazloom, the one who is oppressed, muntabih, he is awake and he is crying to Allah. Rasulullah said, اِتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Be careful, beware of the baddua of a mazloom who you have oppressed. Why? Between him and Allah, there is no barrier. The moment he says, Ya Allah, the dua is going to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Again, Ramadan is a month of reflection so that we bring those changes in our life. Otherwise, Ramadan came, it will go, and we are still standing in the same point, place spiritually. We have made no advancement whatsoever. There's no changes in our life. And if you make some good, positive changes, inshallah, we will find the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are those, not little, the big things in our life that we have to now reform and change. Allah kala and give all of us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi. Inshallah, tonight we'll have a program after Taraweeh on Laylatul Qadr and I'tikaf. You know, from tomorrow night, I'tikaf starts. And tomorrow night will be the very first odd night. So we should start preparing mentally and also spiritually. So inshallah, a short talk after Taraweeh, inshallah.